Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. People move to Cobourg and Port Hope because they feel like they're in the past when they drive around. The old town halls, grand mansions, and Victorian houses along the tree-lined streets are an attraction to many. However, the reality is that many of these old buildings are being left empty. Some are left even to the point of irreparable neglect. The urgency to save our heritage is real and immediate. In this interview, you will hear about the upcoming house tour in Cobourg on June 1st. The local chapter of the Architectural Conservancy of Ontario organizes it. While walking around in these historic buildings is nice, their future could be less than certain. Rob Michael is one of the most respected architectural historians in Ontario. He grew up in Cobourg and recently moved back. He will talk about heritage preservation. You decide if these structures should be saved and at what cost. I am so pleased to have with me today Rob Michael, an architectural historian and the chair of the local chapter of the Architectural Conservancy of Ontario. Welcome to Consider This Northumberland.
Thanks. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Before we talk about the tour, how would you describe the state of heritage preservation in Cobourg currently?
Very mixed, I would say. I think there's been some improvements. And I think there's been some backsliding over the 50 years that I've been involved in it or had my ear to it. There's a lot more good kind of renovations and rehabilitations going on. But I think there's still an attitude that heritage is a frivolous or not non-essential part of a community's life and growth. And it can't be farther from the truth because, the ACO was set up to preserve and protect and educate people on the value of heritage buildings and other structures, landscapes. But in essence, what you're doing is you're trying to preserve, advocating to preserve for the individuality, the uniqueness, the character, and you might even say the soul of the community, because the houses and the buildings that are being demolished are the old ones, the ones that are specifically built and individual to Cobourg itself and form what is the character and the feeling of the town. And I always ask people, well, why did you move to Cobourg if you don't mind them demolishing buildings that are part of the reason that you came?
Let's explore that a little bit more, because you used the word backsliding. What did you mean by that? Can you give us some examples that would help us understand what you're alluding to?
Well, I'm fairly, back. I've only been back by June, but in terms of some of the buildings or the additions that, to Cobourg, there's some proposed developments, one on George Street. Like right now, I think there's 49 developments, correct me if I'm wrong, you may know better, in line to go through the town. And, that could have a significant impact on the town, depending how those projects are developed. And a lot of them, or some of them contain the heritage properties. I know at least one, but a lot of them would see some demolished within those developments. And there seems to be, and people can correct me, but a priority on development over other aspects of the town's being.
Let me ask you directly then, are we saving architecturally significant buildings?
Some at this moment. You know, we have three heritage districts. We do have a lot of things in place to preserve the buildings. It's just whether there's the will to preserve them. And, you know, everything goes back to the decision of council in terms of what happens to the buildings that are undergoing development. This is just not buildings that are being demolished. It's buildings that are being renovated or modified and having, you know, elements of their character taken away from them. And I always have considered or explained over the 50 years that I've been doing this that it's like a tub with a leak. You know, these things drip away until the tub is empty. And I kind of think Coburg has lost so many amazing and important buildings, you know, in my lifetime, hundreds really. And it's still quite a beautiful town, but I think, you know, we're on the tipping point right at the moment. It's like climate change. We've allowed so many beautiful buildings to be demolished or deteriorate to the point that we can't really begin to lose many more. But on the other hand, there have been some people. There's a house at Carrie Lowe's office at Division and University is a beautiful restoration. People should drive by and see that. That's a great thing. And there's a few facades in the downtown that are being restored. So, you know, there's, you know, things going forward and things going back. But I've mostly always believed that the town itself, the council, the town with a capital T, has not always been very supportive of preservation.
Well, let's talk about that a little more, because how would you describe the job council is doing?
I've only been here since June, but I think it could do a better job.
Certainly. In what way?
Well, it could be more rigorous, you know, in its approach. We have a very good heritage planner, and that's a great thing. You know, it will all depend on all these developments going through. There's a condominium on George Street proposed at Buck that in the heritage district that could significantly, possibly, affect the whole character of what's around it. And that, you know, negatively. It's the way in which it's the way in which development is done. No one expects things to change. No one expects that there won't be change, and change is a good thing, and growth is a good thing, but it's the way in which it's done and controlled, which really matters and can enhance the town. And you know, we're trying to save, you know, the best of the past, but also recognizing that we need buildings of good quality that are of this area for the future.
Well, are building owners and developers doing enough? I mean, what's their responsibility? What's their role?
Well, there are some progressive developers, and then there's some other not so progressive developers, and homeowners have their own tastes and things. But when you buy, you know, when you buy in a heritage district and you buy in or buy a restored house, or a house that's on been designated under Part 4 of the Heritage Act, there are certain guidelines and responsibilities that come with that. Because what you're doing is creating an atmosphere which it creates not only well-being for people, it's economically important. If you look in the United States and some parts of Canada, if you Google historic preservation and or downtown revitalization, they've been the two driving forces in downtown revitalization and overall town growth and economy. And we're a little far behind on other towns in Ontario. If you think of Port Hope, 7 miles west, but the downtown, since I came back, it's really great the way things have come up, because a number of years ago things it didn't look so well. So, there's progress, but we just have to keep pushing and advocating, and that's what the ACO is, which is different from other groups. Its mandate is to advocate for the preservation of buildings and structures in our unique community.
Do you happen to know how many buildings have been added to the registry in the past year?
I don't. Not many. There's a problem now with Bill 23, I believe it is, with the provincial government. It's part of their overall plan to increase housing, and they have kind of removed a lot of municipal powers, one of which is that they've are taking away the power of municipalities to monitor buildings. Most Because designation is a very expensive process and more limiting, most communities have lists that they monitor buildings, and if there's threats to them, they have time to designate them. Under Bill 23, they're eliminating the power of the municipality to monitor buildings. In Toronto, for example, where I worked for a long time, there were over 3,500 buildings on their list. They only designated if there was a threat or as part of an agreement. So they have a few years to do something about their listed buildings, and after that, there won't be any power the municipality has to monitor those significant buildings. So instead of adding to the list, we're going to lose a lot. And provincially, that's over 36,000 buildings that could be demolished tomorrow.
Bringing it back to Cobourg and Northumberland, we've been watching a lot of important buildings that have been sitting and nothing's happened to them. Port Hope, there's the old Nickerson File Factory, which was left to a point where now it's parts of it are being demolished. Strathmore House on the former Brookside Youth Detention lands, Sidbrook's another one, the old movie theater, the park on King Street. What's going wrong?
Well, there are several things. With Brookside, the owner is just letting, you have the power really not to do too much to a building. You can let it sit empty. I mean, there are work order, I've forgotten, work order, work orders that can be, the town can do to force compliance to certain standards of upkeep. So part of it is the owner, part of it is the town not willing to take that step. I mean, I think Brookside, it particularly is this, I mean, it's kind of one of the generational opportunities that don't come along very often, and it's kind of a once in a lifetime thing to have 33 acres of beautiful land in the East End with a couple of heritage buildings, and the fact the town doesn't seem to have any interest in what happens to that property. And so it's sitting there, and the town seems to be not willing to buy the property, or at this point, from what I have been told and discussed, much interest in it. And again, the Park Theater is just a tragedy. And Cobourg needs theaters. It has a booming theater business. And again, it's the ability to allow buildings to deteriorate to the point where they'll be demolished. And so, council, if they're serious about this, ha have to really get involved. And we had Cobourg often is a place of lost opportunities. When I was here in the 90s, the famous people players wanted to come to Coburg and make it their summer theater place, and they were looking at the park, and the town really wasn't willing to invest in it to allow this to happen, and that would have been built brought busloads of people into Coburg and really pumped up the downtown economy, I think anyway. But it's a it was a lost opportunity because the town throughout my experience isn't really willing to invest in these type of projects.
You sit on the Heritage Advisory Committee for Council, and if one looks at your agendas, they are mostly filled with approval for signage, paint colors, minor renovations. Where's the advocacy going on? Where's the effort to protect if all you're dealing with is these kinds of requests?
Well, the Municipal Heritage Board, or what I remember as the LACAC, of which I was also the first on the first LACAC, its role is it's part of the town structure. Where the advocacy comes in is through the Architectural Conservancy of Ontario, because they're not the local branch. They're not restricted by municipal structures. The Heritage Board is a an advisory board, and so it operates under a different kind of structure, and has a heritage permit or a heritage policy that dictates what the Heritage Municipal Board can do. But I've only been on it, I've only had two meetings there, so I haven't had any big important projects come, but I think a lot of the development proposals which have heritage components will come to the board, and but the board can only re make recommendations to council. They can't force the council, and so the council can like any other pl the planners or anyone, they make these recommendations, and it's up to the town. So and as you say, there are a lot of smaller things as well that come through, and but that's part of the job too. But through the ACO, which I'm incoming chairman of, that's where we can really start driving some advocacy, not just for Coburg, but for East Northumberland.
Are there sufficient incentives provided by federal and provincial governments to encourage people to register or even preserve heritage buildings in Coburg?
Well, there aren't what there used to be, but the town. I'm just fairly new back to Coburg, but I don't believe there's any kind of grant program for builders, homeowners, or building owners to help them restore properties. There have been some initiatives in the downtown, and there's one CIP, I think, that homeowners can. Or business owners or downtown merchants or landlords can take to help with their building renovations or restorations. But there are certainly not what there were when I first started out in the 80s.
You mentioned this earlier in our conversation, and I'd like to come back to it. And that is this idea that many people look at architectural preservation as a barrier or as a hassle. What can be done to enhance the way people are thinking about preserving architecture?
Well, first of all, and most importantly, and we're going to start a sort of an aggressive campaign of awareness and education. And in Coburg, there hasn't been a lot of real awareness or education on the values and the not just for preserving nice old buildings, but the economic impacts, the climate change impacts, the well-being that one gets. They just have some studies out now. It seems intuitive, but they now have studies that the character of a town or city has a real effect on the well-being of a person. So there are so many different positive ways. And as I say, the one of the driving forces is economics. And there's also studies that show that the renovation and restoration of buildings creates more affordable housing than building new. So there's so many different reasons that aren't necessarily feel-good reasons that are why heritage is important. And you can look around at a lot of towns: Almont, Port Hope, St. Mary, St. Thomas, Perth. They're very thriving because they've embraced the heritage and the characters of their communities. And I think we need to do more of that. We're doing it, but we also have to, as I say, educate people on what the heritage is and instill a real sense of value in Coburg's history and its architecture. And I say, there's a lot of interest in its history, but a lot of that is embodied in the buildings that are standing.
Then what do you say to someone who argues like, hey, this is my property, I bought it, it's mine, and they should be free to do what they want?
Well, several things. There's a Planning Act and a Building Code Act, which restricts your buildings, what you can do. I did have someone that talked to me about property rights from the town and how important it was. But I say, well, what about the important, what about the property rights of people on either side of you or around you? What are their property rights when you're building a building that could decrease their property values? And that's why one of the reasons heritage districts are formed, because I was talking to some people the other day that spent $16,000 replacing their build windows so they would match the original heritage structure. But if someone next door to you, just puts in any old windows or doesn't conform, help build the neighborhood in a way that's keeps it thriving, then why would another person want to spend so much money fixing their house up? So we all build each other up together. It's not that, and again, it's not that it doesn't can you could tear a building down that isn't that great and build a very nice contemporary building. I'm not against that. There are a lot of infill buildings that I've noticed since I've come back to Coburg that are beautiful contemporary buildings. But they, it helps everyone if everyone works with.
Well, it's interesting because that leads into my next question, which is, what should we be protecting? What should we not be protecting? How do we make those decisions?
Well, you make them on a number of levels. In my opinion, and what we used to do, the architectural importance is the main feature because the buildings are the visible representation of the history and the character of the past. So, you have professionals and people, other community members that just somehow, well, not somehow, but come together to work out what are important buildings. And I think in the first tier, it's very obvious things like Victoria Hall, Victoria College, churches, a lot of the larger houses. In some ways, it's very obvious how important they are. But again, but to me, there are a lot of potentially beautiful structures, frame structures in Coburg that have been aluminum sided and the windows have come out. And if we could get people to bring those back a bit more to what they originally were, because a lot of those are the now the remaining oldest buildings in Coburg dating to the 30s and 40s.
Let's talk about wartime houses, because we have a lot of those. They're 70 plus years old now. Should we be preserving those buildings, some that were built in the 60s, 70s? Because when does a building become historically or architecturally significant? How many years have to pass? And now you see people buying up, gobbling up all these smaller, more affordable homes, renovating them to the nth degree, and their significance as our pieces of representative architecture are being lost. How do you speak to that?
Sure. Again, I'm glad you brought that up because, we're now in a post-World War II situation. You know, the house I live in now is the same age as I am, which is about 68. So these houses and the wartime houses, we have to start looking at those and surveying those, and those haven't been done or paid attention to. And we need to start doing that because there are some significant and very nice, good modern, mid-century modern buildings. And so that they have to be surveyed because we're losing some. And as you say, there have been a lot of them being demolished or renovated. And so those have to begin to be protected. So I agree completely that we have to evaluate all our buildings in the city of Toronto. I think it was a 10-year period before something could be considered to become part of the inventory of buildings or designated under the Heritage Act. So, you know, there's some, you know, very beautiful buildings in Coburg that have been built in the last 10, 20, 30 years that are well worth ensuring that they're preserved. And unfortunately, the Park Theater, which I think is one of the most important sort of post-war buildings, you know, really ranks highly, and I hope that something can be done with that. But again, most of that rests within the town and the willingness of the town to do it. Now, there are problems that can't be really dealt with very well, particularly zoning and issues. Say in Corktown, and you know they have this problem at Kensington Market in Toronto, where there's pressure to develop. In Corktown, you have these quite large lots close to the lake with a fairly small house on it. And it's very hard to preserve the character of such a community when the land value is so is high. So, that's just a very difficult question. You can't expect people to pay $1 million and keep a four-room house. But what you can do is ensure that the new house that replaces it is good and sound and of a hopefully a good design and character that will enhance the town.
Heritage preservation legislation has been described in the past as merely a paper tiger. Municipalities don't have the teeth when it comes to saving buildings. Do municipalities have the necessary teeth to protect significant buildings?
I'm not as familiar with the Heritage Act as I was, but certainly in the beginning, there were the problem about not being able to designate or being able to tear down designated buildings was an issue. But there are a lot of ways now that they can preserve buildings, and not just through the Heritage Act, through the zonings. If there's any kind of zoning change required on a property, then you have more power that way to help the developer or owner keep the character of their property or not demolish their house. Through the Ontario Act, there are various ways that they preserve it. And, you know, to some degree, that's working through the LAC Acts and the Heritage Planner. One of the problems I think with the Heritage Act was, say, with the planning and building department, you had professionals working who were trained and practiced in those fields, where when they set up the Ontario Heritage Act, there was no provision for a professional heritage planner. It was just volunteers from the localities who probably weren't too well versed in heritage preservation and the Heritage Act. So I think that's where it gets fuzzy. Now the town, I think, is taking things more seriously, and in that way, in that regard, and as I say, they have had heritage planners working with owners and trying to negotiate. A lot of it is a negotiation, a lot of it is a cajoling, or, you know, different ways, and that, but also they can deny the permits, especially in heritage districts. So then that those could be appealed, but there are some more strengths, but there are also less strengths. So if they remove the ability to list, then that really hinders the ability to preserve buildings.
The Architectural Conservancy of Ontario local chapter is holding a tour on June 1st. Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, it's a great tour, and I'm on the committee. I came late into it, but I'm really excited about it. It's 11 buildings. It's on June 1st, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. There are 11 buildings, 7 heritage houses, one contemporary house that is energy efficient, and it's quite interesting to hear how you can convert a house to make it almost self-sufficient, as well as Victoria Hall. You know, it's surprising, since I've been back, how many people have never been in Victoria Hall. You'd be surprised about the number of people that haven't. And we also have St. Peter's Church and their rectory and the mortuary chapel. Unfortunately, churches now have to lock their doors, so you can't get into churches much anymore unless you're going for services or other programs. So St. Peter's just went under, $2 million restoration, and the inside of the churches proper is just beautiful. And there we have houses dating to from 1832, 1834, right up to 2000. So quite a wide variety. And Lakehurst at 128 Durham is the old armor estate. He was the Chief Justice of Ontario, beautiful Georgian building. 195 Queen is a very interesting, eccentric Gothic one. And we have some early Georgian or mid Georgian houses that, they're all quite stunning and exciting. So I'm really looking forward to it. We have a great committee. I'll name them: Esther Robson, who's our fearless leader, and Doug Sirota, Elizabeth Betancourt, and Leslie Fink, and Suzanne Gerwick. And, you know, I used to do events in the government for 20 years. I used to set up announcements and things for the ministers I worked for in the bureaucracy. And this is a logistical nightmare. Kudos to people who are doing this, because it's not easy, but, you know, it brings so much, happiness to people. And also it's a good fundraiser. And, you know, and to allow homeowners, you want to thank the homeowners, because that's, you know, something that not everyone thinks to do or maybe wants to do. But when my parents had a house on their tour in the 70s, you know, and there was some anticipation, but it turned out to be a really fun day, you know, people coming through and commenting. So, you know, if your approach for a house to be your house to be on a tour, really consider it, because it really benefits a lot of people.
Rob,
yeah.
How do you sign up for this? How do I get involved if someone's listening and wants to be part of it?
So we have a website, www.acocen.ca. They're available. The tickets are available at a number of stores throughout town, including Quinn's Florist. They're also in Grafton at 1812 Antiques, Lana Taylor Antiques in Port Hope, Fulton Flowers in Port Hope, the Art Gallery in Coburg, Acanthus Interior. So there are a number of stores downtown that are selling them in Port Hope and around. But I also wanted to mention, too, for St. Peter's, they're offering a box lunch for $20. And the proceeds for that will go to the rest, help restore the rectory and the church. And they're planning music programs throughout the day. And they're having a swing band on the lawn during the period where they're serving these box lunches.
And how much are the tickets?
The tickets are $35 and well worth it, I think. And it'll be a great day. And I just want, and sorry, I'm, it'll be a great day. And I think, and I hope everyone will come out and join us. We're selling tickets very quickly. We sold, I think, over 300. And so it seems to be, it's going to be popular, but we'd like to see as many people as we can come out to this. And it really supports a good cause and helps maintain your community, helps enhance your community.
I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank you.
That was Rob Michael, architectural historian and chair of the local chapter of the Architectural Conservancy of Ontario. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.